So this morning, as we were worshiping the Lord, I again had this thought on my mind about this idea of who God is and why do we believe what we believe? Because we're singing songs of faith. We're singing songs that say that we believe God can do great things. We're singing songs that He is my everything, that in Him I have all answers. But do we believe it? Do we believe it? I've come to a position in life that I no longer care. I'm not that old. So don't think that I'm just one of those old fuddy that doesn't care anymore. But I just come to a position in life that I do not care what this world thinks about me. I don't care what this world thinks about the beliefs that I have, because I know in whom I believe and why I believe Him. I know who I believe and why I believe it. I know that Scripture is true. I know that Scripture is unfailing and it is trustworthy, and it has been put before us for a reason, and that is to know and trust who God is. I know Scripture, and I'm not speaking as an expert. I'm not some theologian, but I know God's Word. And what I've come to learn over these years is I don't care anymore what this world tells me about God. I just want to know Him firsthand. And so that's why I love Scripture and I love seeking His Word. But I know why I believe and I know why I believe it. I've been in this process over these last 4 years writing about stuff, to be honest, no one wants to talk about. It's because it's a subject that, number one, it really is something that we just don't think about, and it's called science. And to most people, when you mention the word science, you just roll your head in the back of the eyes. You remember that C that you got because you just wanted to get through that stuff, and you get through school, and now you can enjoy things like science fiction, because, man, Marvel movies are so much better than those textbooks. We don't think about science, and because of that, because we have allowed this world of science to infiltrate everything we believe, we are now here in a time, in a situation in our world where things are so backwards, in a time when people depend more upon a psychologist than God. Now, I know that this is a touchy subject, but it burned in my heart as we were singing this morning, and I thought, you know, people depend more upon others because why? They have forgotten who God is. But I know what I believe and why I believe it. And I know this, that there is absolutely nothing that cannot be solved. There's absolutely nothing that cannot be healed when you come to the altar of prayer to the Lord. He solves everything. Every single thing that you go through, depression, anxiety, and worry, and fear, and doubt, every single thing is solved when you come to Jesus. But this world has lied to its people and said, no, don't turn to God, turn to us, and we'll tell you the answer. And I'll tell you this, their answers are not from God. Their answers are not based upon who you are. Do you know who you are? You are someone who was created with the breath of life in them, and that comes from God. God is the one that you originate from. He's the one that created people. But every single psychologist comes at you like you're an animal because they believe that you evolved over time from evolution. You say, well, Pastor, I go to a Christian psychologist, right? I have a Christian-based psychologist. Listen, I'm not here trying to bash people who are doing their best to help others. I am just telling you I know why I believe and why I believe it, and that the whole ideal of psychology has led people astray. I listen purposely to people of psychologists. I purposely listen to them. I have shared some of the stuff that they have said. Christian psychologists who have said things to my family. I've shared some of that stuff, and it is appalling to them what they hear. But this is what people have put their hope in. Answers from people instead of answers from a God who can solve every single thing you go through. I have friends that families are broken, and they're turning answers, looking for psychologists to give them answers. I know of pastors who've turned to psychologists when dealing with a child that was demon-possessed. The pastor didn't even know the child was filled with demonic activity, coming from a land that was filled with magic and witchcraft. He didn't even know. And it was a psychologist who actually had to tell him, listen, I believe your child needs an exorcism. How do we get to the place where we no longer have the discernment and the ability to sense and know what is from God and what is not? It's because we have trusted man's word over God's. I know what I believe and I know why I believe it. And I speak very firmly on these things. Like I said, I'm not trying to bash any field of study. And I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to belittle anyone. I am just speaking as a pastor who is sick and tired of watching people struggle when it is needlessly done. Because I'll tell you this, everything is solved at the altar. Everything. And I'm telling you this as a pastor, as a friend, as a Christian who goes through things just like you. I'll tell you what. There have been many psychologists that probably want to put me down on their bed and say, listen, tell me your problems because I know you got some. But I refuse to deny what God's word tells me. And it is His word that tells me to trust in Him and His word beyond my understanding. And to trust that He is going to make out the path straight. He's going to level it for me. He's going to make it okay. I know why I believe and why I believe it. I've been working through my latest book called The Creation Conspiracy. And it's a book of information that is going to give you the information on why you believe what you believe about the universe. Why you believe what you believe about this universe. And you say, well, Pastor, what does it have to do with anything you just talked about? As we have all learned in our home, that everything goes back to Copernicus. Everything just goes back to the scientific revolution. Back in 1543, when Copernicus released his theory that the earth moved around the sun. You say, Pastor, wait a minute, you were just talking about psychology and you were just talking about trusting in God's word and now you're talking about something that I don't care about. But this is the reason why I brought up psychology. Because psychology is based upon evolution. Now, I'm telling you this from, not from me, but from worldly scholars who recognize that it was after the 18th century when psychology that we know today really started to take its shape. It was because it was based off of evolution. You see, this world believes that God had nothing to do with you. And I'll let you in a little secret. Evolution is not about you coming from monkeys. Evolution is not about you coming from monkeys. You want to know what the secret is? Evolution is about you coming from a star. Because they believe that if you can understand the universe, then you can understand the mind that created the universe and you yourself can become a god. This is the same stuff that the serpent told Eve in the garden. That listen, if you follow me, you will be like God. If you listen to my voice, and that's why David Spangler, who was one of the fathers of the New Age movement, and New Age is simply just a way for you to engage with Satanism without you knowing about it. One of the founders of the New Age movement says that, listen, if you really want to know the Christ consciousness in you, and he's talking about a star, if you really want to know who he is, then let Lucifer, the morning star, guide you. You see, it's all about the stars because they literally believe that if they can become one with the universe, then they can become gods themselves. And this is what he told Eve. Trust me, listen to me, follow my voice. And you'll be just like God. So when they talk about evolution, you're not coming from monkeys. You're coming from the stars that have died and given their life to you. You are stardust, according to the world. Stardust. We come from stars. The recent movie from Disney, Wish. I watched it. Not because I wanted to. Not because we had a little child in the home that just wanted to crave the latest Disney movie. I watched it for a reason. The whole point is about what? Wishing upon a star. And you have this girl, this little girl who is training to be, putting herself in this position to be an apprentice to a sorcerer. Oh, and he tells you this right away in the movie. He says, don't you want to be a sorcerer's apprentice? And she does. And she wants to learn a sorcerer's ways. What is a sorcerer? Someone who believes in magic, demonic activity that God forbids. And so this little girl wants to engage in sorcery. Why? So she can help people's dreams come true. And here she is, and she asks the sorcerer too quickly. Now, hopefully I'm not spoiling this movie for you, but hopefully you're not watching this garbage either. Okay, so here she is, and she ruins her chances to be the sorcerer's apprentice. And he tells her she'll never be one of his. And so she goes out, and she's so saddened, and she cries out, and a star comes. A star comes. And the star, and this is all subliminal stuff, it's kind of hard to find out because we're just so engaged with the fanciness of the show and the cuteness of the melodies that are being sung and the animals that speak. But here's what happens. The star comes and it begins to put its stardust on flowers. Flowers and plants in the Bible are never given the breath of life. They are not considered living things. That's why I don't mind chopping down greens and strawberries and eating them. Well, the strawberries, not the greens. I don't mind that. So why? Because they're designed for us. They're food. They're not living things. But yet, what does our world say? These things are living things. Take care of. We gotta take care of Mother Nature. Why do they call it Mother Nature? Because it brings life to the things that are living. And so here's this star comes and it sprinkles its dust on these little flowers. And what happens? These flowers come to life and they begin to talk and sprinkles the dust on the animals and gives them the ability to speak. Now we know that only God can do that because he did that with Balaam's daughter, the donkey, Balaam's donkey. We know that God has the ability to do that, but these stars have the ability to do that, and it starts doing it. And she can't, the girl cannot figure out Asa, I believe her name. Is it Asa? Asa, I believe it's Asa. But she can't figure out what's going on. And the animals are telling her, listen, don't you know what's going on? We're like each other. We're just like each other. Well, obviously they're talking about evolution, right? We're just like each other. See, this is what Disney is teaching to young kids as they're watching. They're programming them what to believe. And so here these animals are saying, listen, we're just like each other. We're just like each other. But she couldn't get it. She couldn't figure it out. And finally they said, you know what? Maybe it's better if we just sing to her what we are. We all are stars. We're stars and we come from the same stardust. This is what the world believes, that we come from stars. Why? Because they're the gods. And we want to be like them. And so here comes a man named Nicholas Copernicus in 1543 who changes everything in the world and immediately takes the sun and puts it right in the middle of the universe. And from that moment, our world has begun to change. And as a result, just several hundred years, even the church will begin to change how it interprets Scripture based upon a theory that was never proven. And as a result of that, psychology started to come forth. Why? Because people have evolved and we are no different than animals. We just have a more highly developed brain. This is why psychology at its foundation is destroying our nation. Because they have no answers for who you are. If you doubt me, go and search out what a scientist says about consciousness. You go and you search out yourself and please stop using Google. Stop using Google. And I mean that. Because what happened back in 2018, I believe it was. 2018, people were starting to question things about the earth. And they started to question things about what was going on in social media, and they were upset because Trump was using social media and he was spreading all this propaganda, and so all of a sudden Google and Facebook and Yahoo are there, and they're all they're there, and their executives are testifying before Congress. Twitter was there. And they're all testifying, and one of the senators says, "What are you going to do to stop all of this propaganda? What are you going to stop all this stuff?" And here's what the lady said. And for some reason, she chose this subject, flat earth. And she said this. She says, "Well, what we're going to do is that when people search for," and this is Google, "when people search for a subject like flat earth, we're going to lower those results, and we're going to elevate more accredited people." So what they're going to do is they're going to promote scientists that believe in what Copernicus was talking about, that the earth is a spherical, round, moving thing. But everything else we're going to push lower. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Because, see, Google knows that they are in the business of promoting what their God tells them. You see, because Jesus makes it very clear, either you follow him or you're not. Jesus makes it very clear, either you're with him or you're not. And he called people that are against him, that are against the truth, he said to them, "You are children of the devil." So Jesus is making it very clear, either you follow him or you don't. And Google is not following Jesus. And so they suppress a lot of things. That's why you never can trust Google search results, because you are going to be shown what they want you to see. So if you go and you search for scientists, say, "What is consciousness?" They will tell you that they have no idea what it is. They have taken and interviewed some of the most top brain surgeons, neurologists, who specialize in the study of the brain, and they ask them, "What is consciousness?" And this is what one of them said. "We have no idea, but," and he goes on and talks forever. You see, because they believe that your brain is just a supercomputer that has the ability to process ones and zeros and can calculate why you are depressed, why you fear, why you're happy, why you think you can make it. They believe that your brain has the ability, but it is God who put his spirit in us, God who's given us a soul that has the ability to reach out to him. That's why the Bible says, David says, "Why so downcast, oh my soul?" He didn't say, "Why so downcast, oh my brain?" He said, "Why so downcast, me?" Because, see, God made you a living soul, but science has no idea who you are. So they treat you like an animal. They diagnose you like an animal. And matter of fact, if you read psychology books, they will tell you that they believe in evolution. There was a book recommended to me. I believe his name's James Clear, who wrote this book, and it's just how to change your habits and all this. And as he's going through this book, the atomic habits or forming good habits, something like that, atomic habits. As he's going through this book, and I remember my daughter and I were going up to the cities, and I told her, I says, "It's like this guy, it's like we're animals." And pretty soon, he'd let the secret out of the bag. He says, "Well, we've learned this because we've evolved over millions of years." You read psychology books, and then what will they tell you? They would tell you that you are nothing more than an animal. But there is something wrong with psychology. This is from, I believe it's 2008, from a psychologist. His name is, I believe, Jeremiah Boyd. And he's a psychologist who's writing for an encyclopedia. He's writing for people who want to know about psychology. He's writing for the scholars and the professors, and they place all of these peer-reviewed journal articles into this encyclopedia, and then they publish it for the academic world. And so here's what a psychologist who specializes in depression and schizophrenia, bipolar, and all those other problems and diseases, and he specializes in mental health. Here's what a psychologist says, who's not necessarily a Christian. I don't know his faith, but he is just simply diagnosing the difference between what the Bible says and what psychology says. And here's what a secular, and all I mean by that is a non-religious psychologist says about the difference between the Bible and his field of practice. He said this, quote, "The Bible, from a Christian perspective, offers a God-centered view of people. God is the creator, rescuer, and the goal of humans. Comparing today's popular psychology with biblical approach is like comparing a pre-Copernican to a Copernican model of the solar system. Popular psychology teaches clients to love themselves and trust their own understanding. The Bible teaches that we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding," Proverbs 3:5. Claudius Ptolemy said that the sun and the planets revolve around the earth. Nicholas Copernicus said that the earth and the planets revolve around the sun. We are facing a similar debate in psychology today. Popular magazines, TV, and public opinion teach you that you are the center of the psychological universe. Believe in yourself. The Bible proposes that you revolve around God, meeting and frustrating God's wishes. Believe in God. A psychologist gave an excellent example of what is really at heart. And I wrote this in a couple books ago, of why I have a problem with psychology. Because psychology is all about me. It is all about focused on me. And the Bible is all focused on God and others. I remember hearing, and this stuff is going on in the church. I remember hearing over 10 years ago, I was talking to a friend who is a very, very loved guy in my life. I just respect this man. He's a friend, but he started to fall into this mental health stuff that was going around. And he told me, he says, "Yeah, I just got done watching a documentary on Noah." He says, "Do you know that Noah was probably one of the most post-traumatic persons that you would ever met? Just imagine all of the stress of hearing people die on the ark. And, you know, as the waters are coming and people are trying to get into the boat, Moses must have had mental health issues like we've never been diagnosed before. His depression must have been real. That's why he probably turned to alcohol." And I turned to my friend and I said, "What are you talking about?" You know what God's solution for Noah was? "Noah, get off the boat and build a home. Go to work. Do what you're supposed to do." Because Noah was not there depressed because he was a sole survivor. Noah knew that God called him to do something. And he was thankful. And he went and he trusted what God said. And he went off and got off the boat. The problem is psychology wants to keep you on the boat where God wants you to get off and get back to what you've been designed to do. The Bible says that you have been created to do good things, good works for him. But you can't do it if you're sitting there over and over again on the boat. Yes, there is fear. Yes, there is anxiety. Yes, there are times where we feel down and depressed. But those are not the solutions. Those are the things that are on the boat. What is waiting for you is off the boat. What is waiting for you is what God has planned for you. But you can't get there if we're going to listen and stay where we are. You see, psychology keeps pointing at us, keeping us as the center of the universe, as Dr. Boyd said. But God's word is about putting him at the center of everything. And it is when we focus on him that we begin to do what he wants us to do. Listen, I have fear. I have worry. I have stress. And I'll tell you, when I start thinking about it, it's overwhelming. To believe that God is asking me to do something, to put all my attention and focus in writing a book while I'm pastoring a church that doesn't have enough resources to take care of their bills, let alone mine. And every time I think about it, it's real. But I'm not on the boat. I'm trusting that God knows what he's doing. And so fear is real, and worry is real, and anxiety is real. But so is faith, so is trust, so is hope, so is belief. And those things will not disappoint you, the Bible says. Because, see, I believe the words of Jesus. Jesus said that, "God, your words are truth." They are true. I believe what John wrote in Revelation, that these words that Jesus speaks are faithful and trustworthy. It is Jesus who will never abandon those who cling to his word. There were three men that decided to hold on to what God said. There were three men that decided, in the midst of all of this slavery that they were in, they decided that they were going to stay true and hold on to what God said. And their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Daniel and his friends were there, and they were elevated into a position because Daniel was able, by the grace of God, to give Nebuchadnezzar the answer that he was looking for, and God elevated them. And then Nebuchadnezzar just decides, hey, I'm going to build the largest statue anyone has ever seen, and he builds it out of gold, and he says that at the sound of the horn, everyone must bow down and worship. There's no mention of Daniel and what he did. We don't know what Daniel did, but we know that Daniel was close to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was one of his chief secretaries. We don't know what he did, but we do know what happened to three men who decided they were going to hold on to God's word no matter what, and they decided that when that horn blows, they are not going to bow to an idol because they will only bow to their God, and they were going to stay faithful to the word that they knew was true. And so the horn blew. And these three men stood there, and they were there, and they refused. And Nebuchadnezzar says, listen, if you don't bow down, I'm going to throw you into the fire, and I'm going to make it seven times hotter, and you will suffer. And all of these people will know what happens when you defy my word. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God is bigger than you. Our God is more important than this statue and bowing down to it. And even if he doesn't save us from the fire, we're going to go into that pit, into that suffering, knowing that we will not defy and not doubt and not turn our backs on his word. And so Nebuchadnezzar was so frustrated, he threw these men in there. And all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and he sees there weren't just three, but there was four. And Nebuchadnezzar says he looks like one of the sons of the gods. And what he saw and who was in there was his name, Jesus Christ, who stood with people who would not deny his word. I'm telling you, God will stand with you in the fire if you hold on to his word. God will be with you if you get off the boat and trust what he says. God is with you. God is for you. And he's not going to abandon you in the time of need. But we have fallen prey to this world that has told us that we are broken and that with that we can be diagnosed with some medical condition called mental illness. But these are issues of the soul. I have fear. I have doubt. I have worry. I have anxiety. I've experienced times of depression. But all of them were solved because I came to the altar and I asked Jesus to help me. It is as simple as that. There is no medicine that can cure you. There is no session, multiple sessions with someone who can help you as much as Jesus can one-on-one. That's why I'm not in the business of psychology. Do you know how many clients I would lose? When I tell them, what are your problems? So they tell me, what are your problems? And I answer them, well, the answer is Jesus. Thank you. I'm glad I don't have to pay $139 an hour to hear that the answer is Jesus. I would go out of business. But as a pastor, I'm trying to work myself out of a job. I'm just trying to tell you that Jesus is the answer. There's this song on the radio. And I don't know the young lady who sings it, but it's simply called Honestly, We Just Need Jesus. And I turned this song on, and as this song was playing, I was curious because I heard the words mental health and all these problems, and she's talking about all these things she's going through. And finally she says, honestly, I think we just need Jesus. How true that is. That it is Jesus who solves every single problem you have. I'm telling you, it is not too enormous for God to solve your problems. Will it be easy? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. He'll never turn his back on you. He'll never fail you. He'll never stop. As long as you trust and seek and hope in him, he will always be there. I know why I believe and what I believe, and I know why I believe it. I have answers because I've searched into the origins of the universe and the, background and the foundation of psychology. And I've done all that stuff. I know why I believe what I believe. And I'll tell you this. Here's why I believe what I believe. It's simply this. God does not lie. That's why I believe what I believe, that God does not lie. No matter what you face, if He gives you hope, God doesn't lie. If you're seeking Him and He tells you you're going to make it, God doesn't lie. When He has written in His Word that if two or three would ask in My name, it will be done, He does not lie. You can get caught up and you can look at all of the things around you. And I'll tell you, all the things around you are meant to deceive you. Why? Because the God of this world has blinded the people of this world from knowing the truth. And He's blinded some of the Christians from believing what God says. This world is a world of deception. That's why Jesus said in the last days, do not be deceived. This world is a world of deception. Because the answer is this, Jesus. The cure is Jesus. The peace is Jesus. He has always been since the beginning, Jesus. But our world deceives us and tells us that we can find hope in a doctor. We can find hope in a medicine. We can find hope in a psychologist or a job or an exercise program. We could find hope in all the success around us. But I'll tell you, the only hope that we're ever going to have that will never fail us is Jesus. I'm here today begging you. Just find Him. Find Him. I'm going to invite my wife to come and just to play. And we're going to take a few moments this morning, because maybe you're here and you feel depressed, fearful. Maybe you're struggling because you haven't heard God. I'm here to tell you that He is here. And the Bible says that if you seek Him, He will be found. I don't have all the answers, but He does. I don't know how He's going to solve it, but He will. You must trust in Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to take a few moments. And we're going to do what I believe. My wife and I wrote a parenting book last year. And in that book, we say, what is the secret of our success as a family? Because our family isn't perfect. Our family doesn't have it all together. But at the root of it is this. And my wife and I believe the same thing, that there is nothing that can't be solved at the altar. There's nothing. There's not a marriage. There's not a fear. There's not a situation. Nothing can't be solved at the altar, because it is here the answer is. His name is Jesus. And that's why you have to trust Him. And when those doubts and worries and concerns start to rage up, you say, no, Jesus promised, and you must believe it. And I'll tell you this, I've never seen God abandon us when we needed Him the most. There are times when I don't know where He is, and there's times where, let me rephrase it, there are times when I don't see Him working, but I know where He is. He's right next to me. He's watching. Because you know what Jesus promised? That I will be with you to the very end of the age. He promised that. He promised that when He was leaving. He promised that as He was ascending into heaven. He said, I'll never leave you. Be with you to the very end. And so He's here today. So I'm going to invite you, if you're here and you have a request. And you know what? I don't even want to know what it is. I just want you, as a step of faith, to come to the altar and just begin to pray and ask Jesus to help you. If you feel going through certain things, depression, fear, anxiety, come to the altar. If you need a God to do a miracle, come to the altar, whatever it is. And you know what it is. You know what it is. I'm just going to invite you to come to the altar and let's just pray for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, God, that we can take a few moments to seek you. And God, I believe this, God. It is not the length of time, but it's the step of faith that you honor. Jesus, you told us to pray and not to cease. You told us not to quit. Don't give up on praying. But what you honor is when we put our trust in you. So we're going to keep knocking, and we're going to keep asking. We're going to keep seeking because we believe that you are going to do what you've promised. Lord, I rebuke in the name of Jesus depression, fear, anxiety, worry, stress, doubt. I rebuke those things in the name of Jesus because those things have no hold over your children. The Bible says that we have been set free by the one who is truth. The Bible tells us that we are a new creation. The old is gone. There is nothing of this world that still holds on to us. And we leave those things behind because we are children of the King. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And because we believe in your Son, your word promises that we are overcomers. We are victorious. And so, Lord, those who are seeking you, those who are crying out to you, I pray in the name of Jesus they would find you. And that you would whisper to them. You would tell them that you are for them. You'll never abandon them. And because they believe in you, they will be able to face whatever situation they are going through because you are their rock, their fortress, their strength. So, Lord, give them the answers. Open the doors. Set them free from their mind and transform them to a heart and thoughts that are focused on you. We love you so much. We thank you. And I pray for those, Lord, who responded here, those who responded in their pews, those who responded online. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do something amazing for all of us because that's how good you are. You just love us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Give you all the praise. Give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.